We're in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And what a lovely chapter this is. Amazing chapter. You're going to love this chapter in Romans chapter 4. Now, just to give us a little review, remember in chapter 3, we came to the actually the first verse of the Romans road, which is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we saw that the Apostle Paul was pointing out that the Jew and the Gentile alike are all guilty before God. We all need a Savior. And so if you want to just look at verse chapter 3, verse 28 in review, it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified, and we always define justified as justified, never sinned. I love that, justified. Justified, never sinned. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without or outside the deeds of the law. It's like Martin Luther cried out, he said, it's by faith alone when the Reformation came. Yes, we believe in Jesus and we come to him and he saves us. He's the only person that can, because he's the only person that gave his life for us. Buddha never died for me on the cross, nor Muhammad or Confucius or anyone else, just Jesus. And so there it is. Now, chapter 4 continues in the idea of this faith that is so important to us in our lives. It says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Of course, now Abraham was the first person called out by God to begin the Jewish race, to begin the race that he would choose to call by his name and to put his name in the place of their dwelling, Jerusalem. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, something he did, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. Oh no. Nobody will ever glory before Almighty God. He is too holy. He is too just. He is too right on for anyone to ever be as right on as him. So no one can ever boast or, as it says here, whereof to glory in themselves or their works or what they did. The Bible actually says that our righteousness compared to God's righteousness is as filthy rags. It just is. We just can't cut it. No one can cut it. As we saw in chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. And so no one can do that, especially before God. I wanted to talk about this a little bit before we go on, because those last three words in verse 2, not before God. God is amazing. He's so big. He measured the universe in the span of his hand. That's a span right there. The distance between the little finger, from the little finger to the thumb, is a span. And that's how he measured the whole universe. And he is so big. And he's not only big, he's good. You know what Jesus said about God the Father? He said, none is good but God. None is good but God. And so he has such pure goodness that it can't even be compared to what we might try to live up to. Never make it. There's none good but God. I'd like to turn to a New Testament scripture on this. As I was doing my study the other day, I said, think of a scripture. There was, the whole family was there, and I said, think of a scripture that just describes how awesome God is. And my wife said right away, 1 Timothy 6:15. So let's turn there. This is such an awesome scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15. Right away, my son James was there at the time, and he's 43 years old, but he said, Mom, where's that scripture? So we just heard her reading it, you know, so I want to read it to you. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. It says this. It says, the Lord Jesus Christ who in times, in his times, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, or the only king, the only true leader in all the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only has immortality. It's in his hand, the immortality that we're going to experience because of his grace. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach. If we start moving towards the Lord just in our flesh and try to get near him, you can't even approach him. He's too holy. The angels in heaven cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." He is the potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power for everlasting. Amen. Amen. And so this is a revelation the Apostle Paul had as he was writing to his own dear son in the faith, Timothy, and just sharing about the Lord. Now the Lord, I think about that experience that Isaiah the prophet had with just seeing the glory of the Lord. He said, "I saw the Lord and his train," or his glory, just his hinder parts as he went through the temple, filled the temple. And his reaction to the Lord was, "Woe is me. Woe is me." And Isaiah was a good guy. He was no terrible, awful sinner. But he was a sinner because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he was just a neat guy trying to seek the Lord. And his reaction to actually seeing just the glory of God, he said, "Woe is me. Woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And so the reaction of a really holy man to just being close to God is just to fall down and say, as Peter did, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus had mercy on Isaiah. He touched his lips with a coal from the altar and sent him to do his work. And with Peter, Peter had fallen down before the Lord when he said, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He touched him. He said, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men." That's God's grace. It's only God's grace that we can approach the Lord God Almighty, the holy, just, lovely, awesome God. And I really think that this is what the Apostle Paul's getting to in the book of Romans when he says, nobody's going to glory. Not before God. Not before him. Oh, he's amazing. And we're not. I love that line. It's from a football movie called Rudy, where the priest said, "In my 40 years of study as a religious man, I've discovered two things. There is a God and I'm not him." God is God, and everybody else is just going to bow the knee and just worship him because he is so good to us. And he is the best ever. And so there it is. Well, let's go back now to Romans and chapter 4. We're just going to do the first 8 verses tonight. And really, I want to entitle our message tonight, "God is our friend." God is our friend. He wants to be very friendly with us, even though in reality he's so far above us. He wants to reach to us through Jesus Christ and make us his friend. And that's what we're going to get from these first 8 verses in Romans 4. And so let's go ahead then and read verse 3. It says, "For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness," or put to his account. Now this word "counted" is actually in one form or another, it's also translated "imputed," 9 times just in this chapter. And it's many more times throughout the book of Romans. But 9 times, this same Greek word is used 9 times just in chapter 4. And I'm going to try to pronounce it for you right now. Logizomahi. Logizomahi. Okay, there you go. Like I said, it means also to impute. Now, let me say something about this from the Bible commentator. It says, used in both financial and legal settings. Financial and legal settings. And means to take something that belongs to someone and credit it to another account, to another's account. It is a one-sided transaction. Abraham was given righteousness freely, absolutely free, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to show you this scripture. I think I have us turn to this scripture a lot, but this scripture is so mightily powerful for us on this subject that we have to see it again and again. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and it's the last verse in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 21. It says that he has made him, that is, the Lord God has made Christ, to be sin for us. The Bible says that he became sin on the cross. Your sin, my sin, everybody's sin. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's a trade going on here. I trade my sin in on the righteousness of God. Such a deal. I mean, this is the deal of the century. This is the deal of forever. And it lasts forever. I bring my sin to him, and he imparts to me his righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was put to his account. And are you thinking financially about your checkbook? Or legally about in a courtroom? He put to his account his righteousness. And that is just the most beautiful thing that we could ever receive. And it's a gift. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ as our Lord. It's a gift. Totally. 100%. Free of charge. And that is what makes even the three-year-olds happy in our Sunday school classes when they ask Jesus into their little hearts. Or if we're 53 and we ask Jesus into our little heart, it's all the same. It's a free gift. It's not dependent upon what I've done or not done, because then I would be able to boast about it. But there's no boasting before God. Nobody's ever going to boast before God. We settled that in that last verse. And so here it is. It's so very clear here. Now, I'd like to also turn with you to James chapter 2 and verse 23 about this same scripture as quoted in James 2 and verse 23, because this is where enter the friend of God. And this is a goal for every one of us. We want to be so close to Jesus that he's our best friend. And you know what? He wants to be your best friend. That's what he wants. Oh yeah. And it's a marvelous thing to walk with him and to talk with him and to know that he is leading the way. There is nothing better. There's no better friend than you could ever have. And so let's turn to this scripture, James 2:23. James chapter 2 and verse 23. It's right before 1st and 2nd Peter, and it's got stuck pages with me. There we go. James in chapter 2 and verse 23. Okay. So it says, the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. He just believed him. And it was imputed, and there's that word, that same Greek word, but it's translated here, imputed, unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Called the friend of God. Because he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, God simply came to Abraham and said, your wife, Sarah, or Sarai, is going to have a son 9 months from now, is what he said, you know, next year. And Abraham believed that, even though his wife was way past menopause, unable to have babies anymore. And she never was able to have babies her whole life. And Abraham was almost 100 years old. He was 99, he was 100 when the baby was born. And him referring to himself, and we'll see this in chapter 4 later, and probably next week, that he considered not his own body now dead, is the way it's put. That's kind of bold and crass, and I mean, it's kind of like real embarrassing. My body is now dead. But man, the Lord blessed him and his wife with a baby. And he believed that 9 months before that even happened. He just believed it. And that he would be the father of many nations, and it would be through his son Isaac and all those things. He just believed it. And that's what God looked at. And what God asks us to believe, whosoever believes on Jesus Christ will not perish but have everlasting life. And so we're joined in to Abraham's faith by believing what God says, because it's all true. But I want you to notice that, you see, Abraham was called God's friend because God made him righteous through believing him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him at all. But he pleased him so much, he became his friend. Now, could that be true for you and I? And I want to say yes, yea and amen. And we have it said by Jesus himself in the New Testament. So I want to take you to those scriptures. Now let's go to John 15 and verse 4. And 5. John 15 and actually verse 13 first. Let's go to verse 13. Jesus says this, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now notice that word, friends. Now he called Abraham his friend, but now he's saying that Jesus laid down his life for his friends. And we're believers, aren't we? And that gives us really the chance to be Jesus Christ's friend. You are my friends, he says. You are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Oh, wow. These are just the most intense words, aren't they? To include you in his circles of friends. Did you ever have an experience where you felt rejected by a group of friends that you wanted to be a part of? I always remember when I was 5 years old and they were playing a game which I didn't quite understand yet, but there was just enough room for a certain number of kids to sit on this bench. And when they started the music, you got up and you started walking around the bench. And then when the music stopped, everybody sat down, but there wouldn't be enough room for everybody. There was just enough room for like four kids, not five, and there were five kids. And I didn't understand the game yet. You probably all know about it already, but man, I was never so hurt. That hurt just stuck with me for years and years. That when the music stopped, there wasn't a place for me to sit. And I just felt despised and rejected, you know? Just, I'm out with the out crowd. And they also were laughing at me, because they were kind of probably laughing with the game. But I thought they were pointing and laughing at me, and it was just so bad. And I started bawling. I just started crying my eyes out, and I ran home, you know. Just wasn't really, I didn't really belong with that group, those friends. And of course, you can take that to any age, and you've been through times like that probably in your life. But to have Jesus Christ tell you that there's a place to sit down for you, there's a place reserved in heaven for you, and that you are on my special friend list. And I can't remember now where this happened. It might have happened in the prayer room, but somebody was talking about how John, well, I know John here had referred to the disciple that Jesus loved. And you know, the Apostle John referred to himself that way. The disciple that Jesus loved. And you know, you think, well, maybe that's arrogant of John. No, it's not. It's just true. Jesus did love John, the disciple that Jesus, and he was just taking that. And each one of us can take that, because he's called us his friends. I am the disciple that Jesus loved, and I can say that too, with boldness, because I know that Jesus loves me, and Jesus loves you. And so you can say it, and we can all say together, we are the disciples that Jesus loves, you know, and it's a precious thing. You're his friend, just like Abraham was his friend. You're his friend. Now it says here, and this is where it gets a little technical, and I want to speak to that, that it says that if you do whatsoever I command you. And so, enter works. What saves me? The faith or the works? And we're told that by grace we're saved through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Abraham was not saved by his works, but by his faith. He believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. But may I say, as we had, I believe, last week, the whole idea of this. In the definition of true faith, works will follow. Every single time. Because I love Jesus so much, and his love is growing in me so much every day, and I'm being daily conformed to his image, I will begin to be a doer of good works. And now that doesn't save me, that I'm a doer of good works, but because I'm saved, I ooze and emulate the things that Jesus did when he was here on the earth. He went around doing good works. And so when you observe a person's life, if they're really a Christian, there's going to be good things happening in their life. And so you can see the good works, and the good works prove that they've had a true conversion, faith experience with Jesus. Jesus put it this way. You can judge a tree by its fruit. A good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. If I'm not really saved, I'll be doing terrible things all week long to everybody and anybody. But if I've really had a conversion experience with Jesus and accepted His free gift of His love and His grace, then I'm really saved, and it's evidence of it. We're just fruit inspectors, and we just see the fruit. There it is. Now, this is included in this very chapter that we have here that we're looking at, John 15, at this time. Let's take a look at John 15 and verses 4 and 5. It says this, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide," and abide means to remain, "in the vine," Jesus is the vine, "no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Zero, zip. And so if I'm trying to get saved by my works, I can't really do it. It's not going to happen. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. But if I abide in Him, I come to Jesus, receive His free gift of salvation and an invitation to come and work in my life. He begins to work in my life in such a way that I bear much fruit, He says, much fruit. So He's comparing good works to fruit. How much does a peach work to become a peach? It doesn't. It just abides in the vine. The vine grows up, the branches come out, and the fruit just happens. There's no work involved, because all the work is done through the water and the sun that comes into the vine, and the vine gives it strength and power and ability to be a fruit at the end of the branch. That's what it is, and Jesus is just displaying that. Abide, remain in me. I'm the vine. Just remain in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bring fruit by itself, except that just abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. And so there it is. The good works in my life are just fruit. And you will have a fruitful season. A fruitful season. And you'll be so blessed because there'll be big old giant juicy peaches hanging from your branches. And it's just because Jesus is there. Jesus changed your life and made you right and put a smile on your heart and has blessed you and peaced you out so much you just spread peace everywhere you go. And the people will say, "What is wrong with you? Can't you wipe that smile off your face?" And you just go, "Excuse me, I don't think I can ever wipe the smile off my face again, because I've met with the King. And the King loves me, and more than that, He's my friend. We're really close. We're close in the Holy Ghost. And we're walking together every day. And it's just something that comes forth from you that no one can deny." Louis, I'm so tempted to have you sing that song. A group of bitter boys has become a group of better boys with a big, big smile. Can you teach the congregation that song, bro? Thank you. This is a great song for us. Okay, let's just sing this song. And it's what goes on with the fruit bearing. I love this. We wrote this for the youth group about...
I didn't write it, but...
Okay. Yeah. You're going to love this song. This is great. Yeah.
Turn on a certain way.
It's on.
It's on? Okay. Test. It's fine. You guys like the 50s?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Gang
going gung ho about Jesus. Tra la la la. My sweet sister, till you send Satan sadly away. I've got better buck because a batch of bitter boys becomes a batch of better boys. Big smile. Gang gonna get. Oh, about Jesus. Tra la la la. My sweet sister, till you send Satan sat away. Other buck because a batch of bitter boys becomes a batch of better boys. Be kind of big smile. Thank you, brother. I love that song. It really says it, doesn't it? I mean, that's what the Lord does to us, isn't it? He really does. He really does this. And all of a sudden, you find yourself just a happier child of the Lord. And you find yourself, you know, just bubbling over with Him on the job. And the people wonder, what happened to you? And then you tell them, and they sometimes get upset. They react in different ways, don't they? Oh, man. But it's, oh, so much fun to just walk with the Lord Jesus as a close friend. Now, I want to show you about this friendship tonight, okay? So let's go back to Romans and just do these last couple verses and then spring over to the Old Testament to talk about the friendship again. So we go back to Romans and chapter 4 of Romans, yeah. There we go. Back to Romans 4. Now here in Romans 4:4, we read on. It says, now to him that works in the reward reckoned by grace, but of debt... Now unto him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace. If you're going to get saved by work, it's not God's grace, because God's grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. But it's of debt. In other words, God's in debt to you because you've worked and done something wonderful. But God's never in debt to anybody, because it's all his work. It is God who is at work within you, both to will, that is, make you willing, and to do of his good pleasure. He does it all. He is the one that brings about, through his grace, anything that's good inside of you. And it's a wonderful thing. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. There's that word again. Counted or imputed as righteousness. Now, at this point, Paul uses the example of King David and the grace that was upon his life and the things that we can learn from a psalm that David wrote after he had sinned and he's asking God for forgiveness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes, and that's that word again, same Greek word, imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, these words were written, and this is a direct quote from Psalm 32, which David wrote after he had sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband killed. Bad super bad things to do. But David was truly sorry, and he came to the Lord. And I'd like to submit to you that the forgiveness of sin by God the Father is the greatest act of friendship that one could ever ask for. This is the greatest, most wonderful thing. And so our really friendship with him is described in Psalm 32 so beautifully by David. And that's why here the Apostle Paul is quoting these scriptures. So let's go to Psalm 32 and kind of go slow through this to really get a description of being a friend of God's. And so we go to Psalm 32. And this is where Paul was quoting from, right here. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed, which blessed means happy is that man or woman, is the man unto whom the Lord imputes, there's that word again, imputes, not iniquity, not bringing the sin up, and in whose spirit there is no guile or deceit. Boy, you are so blessed when you are forgiven. You are so close to God. You are so his friend. Because there's nothing between you and him anymore. Your sin is gone. The sin that separates you from your God is gone. And that's what David is saying here. It is so blessed when God forgives you. Because there's no separation anymore. Blessed, happy, joyful is that he is whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered in the blood of Jesus. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. He's not looking at your sin because it's been washed clean, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. There's no deceit there. It's just the truth. You know the truth. The truth has set you free. You're being truthful with the Lord. And you're coming to him and giving him your sin. And he's imparting his forgiveness and his righteousness. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, this is where the friendship gets kind of shaky. And we want to know how to be a really good friend with Jesus, right? It says here, when I kept silence. Oh yeah, I had a secret sin. I had something I wanted to hold on to in my life that was not of the Lord. And when I kept silence about that to the Lord, because all I have to do is confess that to the Lord. If I will confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. What's that make me? It makes you righteous. If you are cleansed from all unrighteousness, then that makes you righteous because God has imparted to you righteousness after you confess your sin to him. But you see, when you keep silence, as David did for a while, he was trying to get by that sin. He was trying to hide that sin. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through the roaring, my roaring all the day long. You feel like you're really old. Anybody ever feel really old here? Oh man, some days you can feel like the Pied Piper. You can feel like a little kid, especially when the grandkids come over. I mean, you can just feel young. But there's days when you feel really, really old. And your bones begin to roar. And you know, may I just say that sometimes that's because I'm keeping silence to the Lord. I want to go to the Lord. I want to be with the Lord. I want to become like a little child before Jesus and just keep a clean slate with him. Lord, here's my sin. Impart to me your righteousness. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For night and day your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. It's like sitting out there with no iced tea in the middle of the summer heat. And you just feel dried up. You need tons and tons of lotion for your dry skin. And your bones are roaring through the whole day. But then in verse 5 he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. The forgiveness then floods the soul. All of the unrighteousness is disappeared, and I begin to feel a lifting in my heart and a closeness to the Lord. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come near unto him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. And you begin to sing those old songs again. Grin Again Gang, gonna get gung-ho about Jesus. Yeah, I love that. Smile, sweet sister, till you send Satan sadly away. What a blessing. All the songs of deliverance begin to come and gush into your life. And the friendship is renewed and blessed because you have confessed your sin. And so our part to be a friend to Jesus is just to agree with him. We just agree with him. He paid it all. He did it all. He shared it all. He died and bled it out all for you. Not to forgive your sin in the part, but in the whole. And it is taken care of. And if I agree with him, I want to be your friend, Jesus. I want to cuddle up next to you and tell you everything that's on my heart. And you know, I really believe that God will work on you and I until we get straight with him in truth. Where we sit down with him alone in our living room and imagine him in the big stuffed chair next to you or whatever, and you just tell him everything. You just tell him that you're suffering from this and that, and Lord, you don't understand this and you don't understand that. And Lord, if there's something I've done to offend you, I want to confess it right now. I just want to be your friend. And Jesus loves that. And Jesus responds to that. And I'm not keeping silence anymore. I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord. There's a verse that says, pour out your heart to the Lord. And you just pour your heart out to him. Tell him everything. Everything. He's your best friend. That's what you do with a best friend, isn't it? When you have a sleepover, when you're in high school with someone that's a really close friend, you tell them everything. You tell them your deepest, most hidden things in your life. Because they're your best friend and you can tell them anything. This is Jesus. This is who he is. This is what he desires with you and with I. Abraham was a friend of God. And Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And you know what he commanded after that? Love one another as I have loved you. It's as simple as that. And we just let the love turn on between him and us and others and us. And we move in that best friend attitude. And you know what he promises here in verse 8? I love this promise, and we'll end with this promise tonight. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. And I think about with this eye upon us. And that's one translation. And I think about his eye leading me. I'm like a blind man in a dark alley. But my hand is in the hand of the man that stilled the water. My hand is in the man that stopped the seas. And he takes me step by step and guides me every day of my life. I will guide you with my counsel and afterward receive you to glory. I love that summation of my life. I'm going to be guided by the counsel of God, and after that, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. That's the way to go. And so the Lord wants to just bring us back to simplicity and friendship again and again. And I believe He does that here in the first part of Romans 4, just talking about Father Abraham as His friend and letting us know that we are His friends. As we respond to Him, as we talk to Him, as we're real with Him, as we confess our sin, as we go keep a clean slate with Him, and He forgives, and He begins to instruct, and He begins to teach in the way which you shall go, and guide you with His eye, surrounded with songs of deliverance. This is wonderful. These things that God promises, these pictures that God paints in His Word, especially in the book of Romans, are just tremendous glimpses of His love for you. Oh, how good He is. You know, I'm just experiencing this today, I guess, because of the whole deliverance of the money thing. Oh, man. I was so worried about that. But, you know, I got really honest with God today. In my prayer time before I came over to church. And I just said, God, somehow I just doesn't believe that this is coming from You. You've been doing so much at the church, and You've been loving this church and taking care of this church so much. And how can this be? How can this be, Lord? And just pouring out my heart before Him and then saying, God, if there's anything I did to cause this, please, Lord, forgive me. I belong to You, and I want to trust You, Lord. And then get over here at the church and just have this news sprung on me, you know, from Pastor Bill. I tell you, if you could dance, I was dancing. And just so blessed. Because you know what? Jesus Christ is my friend. And He's your friend. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. Never, never leave you nor forsake you. But He will guide you and teach you in the way you should go. And as it says there, guiding you with His eye. Because we are the apple of His eye. And He will keep that guidance coming. Isn't He good? God is so good. All the time? Amen. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll have Daniel and Isabel and Edward come back up, and we'll sing. So, Father, we thank You, Lord God, for Your goodness and Your graciousness. Thank You, Lord, that we can be very truthful with You, open, completely open, because You are our best friend. And You want so much to correct that which is wrong, straighten out that which is crooked, and bring about that which is good in each one of our lives. And Father, we desire that we could abide in You our whole lives, Lord. Just remain with You, remain in You, and bear much fruit, because You promised it. And those good works will just hang like big peaches from our branches, Lord, because of You. Because without You, without abiding in You, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, thank You now, Father, and we're so thankful that You are watching over us. Your eye is on the sparrow, and so it watches us. Thank You, Father. Bless You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Just stand together. If you need prayer for anything tonight, the prayer room will be open for you. We do have free Bibles if you need a Bible. So may the Lord bless you. May God just continue to lead you and guide you. He certainly will. And afterward, receive You to glory. So God bless you guys. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.